Morning. Why don't we just stand up and say good morning? I know you're all. All right. Thank you all for coming this morning. Really appreciate it. Thank you. Amen. As you saw, you've been through this teaching already. We're already at part three out of four. And it's been an interesting journey going through this. I know last time I shared a part two about baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people did. Actually, a number of people did get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and some people did receive ministry and healing, and we saw that. So it was very amazing how, I don't know about you guys, every time I see God move in the midst of us, whether that's healing or breakthrough or blessing or whatever that might be, every single time I'm always excited. Always excited to the hand of God touching people in the midst of us. Right? Amen. I know some of you, you're so used to it happens like five times a day. It's like part of your life. You're so used to see that it's nothing. But for me, that's always amazing. So why don't we just pray? Father, we thank you. Father, we ask that you would knit our hearts together in your presence. Father, we surrender our hearts to you. Lord, use me as an instrument of righteousness to release the message that you have put in my heart for us to walk together into such a time as this. Father, we thank you for your spirit, your freedom, your generosity, your blessing, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you to do as you please. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. So I'm going to try to make this as concise as possible. So why am I doing this? Right? Well, Young, why are you doing this? Believe it or not, this is a charismatic church, which means that we still believe Book of Acts continues even today. What do you mean by that? Well, the power of the Lord came like a rushing mighty wind to manifest the kingdom of God, to set the captives free, heal the sick, raise the dead, and comfort those that are in need, and display and manifest the kingdom of God in every aspect of our lives. Old covenant, they had that mandate too, right? But they were unable to live that out because they have yet to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the first thing, right? The second is the presence and a power of the Holy Spirit in their lives for all of us, not just some. Right now, our culture, especially charismatic culture, we're facing tectonic shift on how we see the Holy Spirit, charismatics, right? How we perceive the Holy Spirit, how we interact with Holy Spirit, and how we manifest His gifts. Some of us are still stuck in between old covenant mandate, old covenant cultural attitude and understanding. We mix that with the new. Some of us are still struggling with that. Well, for example, in the quick example is in the old, we have special mediators, and we know them to be, some of them are kings and judges and prophets and all these people who God has set aside to represent God Himself, and whatever that they declare according to the Spirit is actually literal word of God. And we honor them because of that. And they have a special privilege from the Lord to have that grace and mercy for that place. But in a new covenant, we don't have that. But so many charismatic things that we do still. We don't have any more special leaders or mediator. Yes, God has set aside leaders. Yes, God has set aside apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, but they're not any different in terms of our identity and our sonship. But that's the old and that's new. What about the understanding of the Holy Spirit? We need to properly understand not only the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, but how Holy Spirit operates. In the old, it's more intense. There's special class of people like prophets who operates always in accuracy, and false prophet is recognized by word not coming to pass, and God even said, stone them. But in a new, it's different. Why? Because we know that we see in part, we prophesy in part, as I said, not a few select individual like the old, but all of us are given access to the Holy Spirit to see together as the entire body under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's the way we see it. If we understand those two things, the covenantal culture that God wants to establish through the new covenant in redemptive work of Jesus, and at the same time, the calling of the leadership and distribution of the gifts, we understand that, then we will not carry out the culture that right now God wants us to shift away from. So I believe we also spoke about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is not the evidence of your salvation at all. It is not. Your salvation is apart from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We shared it last time. You know that book of the church in Ephesus, was it the Samaria? When the revival happened, Philip went down, Philip the evangelist, and many people got saved through healing and wonder, and they got baptized in water. They were saved, but they have yet to receive the baptism until the Peter and John came down and baptized them in the Holy Spirit. So we know it can happen simultaneously. Like when Peter was preaching to Cornelius' household, it happened simultaneously, or it can happen separately, but it's not the same thing. So is baptism of the Holy Spirit given to select? It is only given to the Christians. You have to receive Christ for you to receive it. Just like how Jesus is a gift to the entire world, right? God has already given Jesus, so he doesn't have to give Jesus again. Jesus died once and for all, for the entire world. Same thing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has released that gift before the day of Pentecost, and the gift actually came, manifested on the day of Pentecost. Whether we pray personal tongue or not is not the main issue. Although it's a great benefit for an individual to pray in a personal tongue, it's not the sign that you got baptized in the Holy Spirit. It may be the greatest sign, but it's not the only sign. So today I am going to break down. I'm going to break down 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit to differentiate between the personal gift and the 9 gifts and how they operate according to the Word of God in a book of Corinthians. So I did talk about revival, right? Hebden Revival in Toronto. That was the very first Toronto blessing, Toronto Revival in 1906, I believe. So it was led by a woman, British evangelist or British missionary, who was part of the holiness movement. She came to Jamaica as a missionary, found it was maybe too hot for them, so they went to Toronto, and they started a mission in Toronto. So she was actually anti-tongues, but when she was praying for a greater measure of anointing for her to minister to people, because she was running a healing room where people were staying for a number of days to receive healing. And Jesus came to her, told her about tongues. At first she denied, then he said it again, then she received. And the revival broke out, the power broke out because of that. So kind of mentioned that also about Azusa Revival there as well. So let's move forward. So we know that personal prayer in the tongue, according to the Word of God, is first, it actually edifies us. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 4. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit, he speaks mystery. So we pray directly, one-on-one, straight to God, with no hindrance when we pray in the spirit. And the verse 3, but one who prophesies and speaks to men, for edification and exhortation and consolation. One who speaks in a tongues edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. What Paul is saying is this. He would rather people prophesy to edify the entire congregation. He's not tearing the tongue down, but he's explaining what the personal tongue is. It is for edification for you. It's a great benefit for you individuals. And not only that, you pray directly to God according to his own will. That is a perfect prayer. And third, in book of Jude, Paul said this, if Paul did not believe that every member in the body of Christ had the capacity, those who got baptized in the Holy Spirit, to pray in the tongue, he would not have said this. But you beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit, commonly known by all the scholars as praying in the tongue, beyond denomination. So we're building ourselves. Why would God do that with only tongues when it's part of the nine gifts? When he says diverse kinds of tongue, I want to show you that it is not part of the nine gifts. Okay, let's get into that. Okay, let's read this. All right. Okay, why don't we read together? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, all the way through 1. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are variety of ministry, and the same Lord, there are variety of effects, but the same God who works in all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, the distinguishing of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. So the key is this. Key is what I highlighted. I'm going to go over that. Okay, let's go back with the slides. There we go. The key is God gave these gifts for me or for other people. It says for the common good. For the common good means it's for other people. And that includes diverse kinds of tongue. One of the nine gifts. That's not the same tongue as personal tongue, because diverse kinds of tongue, according to these words, are for other people, for the body of Christ, and for the people of the world. And who gets that? Well, it's up to the Lord. When we read the last verse, verse 11, distributing to each one of us, individually, just as he wills. Not just as I want, but just as he wills. Okay, so you might be wondering, what are those nine gifts that you talked about? Let's go over really quickly, okay? So first one is word of wisdom. So nine gifts operate whenever he wants to operate, not whenever I want it, given whenever he wants to give it. Correct? Do we agree with that as written in the scripture? So what about word of wisdom? Word of wisdom is this, a supernatural revelation of God's wisdom for a specific situation, providing divine guidance, direction, or purpose, and offering solutions or strategy that help people make choices according to God's will. Again, this does not operate all the time. It only operates whenever God wants, through whomever he wants to operate through, and those whom are Christians. Second, word of knowledge. There we go. A supernatural revelation or of facts or information that could not be known naturally by the person who's ministering, right? I don't know what situation I'm going through with. I don't know any of your intimate situation, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord revealing to you. And the listener, it's really common knowledge. Let's say your address. I know your address. I mean, I don't know your address, but you know your address. When I reveal that, you're like, oh my goodness, you know this. What is the purpose? What is the point, right? It's like a parallel trick. What is the point? So that God may receive glory. It's a preparation. That person, when he or she hears the things that I would have no way of knowing, I'm not data mining, but no way of knowing, so that I can prepare your heart for what is come next. Often, word of knowledge is paired with ministry, such as prophecy or healing, whatever, because we need to believe it is possible, especially to those who are downcasted, who no longer believe in things of God. When they hear certain things that they could only know, they're like, oh my goodness, what? Now you're ready. Okay, what about faith? Faith is not a human faith, but it's a supernatural impartation of the confidence in the things that God wants to do in your life. You suddenly believe it. No logic, no reason whatsoever. You believe it's going to happen. And not only that, only for that specific, not all the time. People do not operate in faith all the time. We're talking about supernatural faith, to believe the impossible. Not only that, for one to operate, to share with other people. Somebody would share certain things in a conference and all the faith in people suddenly begin to believe the impossible. That's operation of the faith. What about gifts of healing? It's a supernatural healings. It's a plural, not just singular. It's a many different kind of healings granted by the Holy Spirit to do a many kinds of healing in many kind of situations to demonstrate that God is above all the sickness and disease and curse. Not only physical healing, emotional and spiritual. So that differs. Okay, faith. Okay, so that is separate from miracles. We know that healing is slow process. It doesn't happen instantaneously. Healing usually happens over time. What about instantaneous healing or breakthrough? We call that effecting a miracle or working of miracles. A supernatural intervention of God that breaks the boundary of natural laws. It breaks the boundary of natural laws. Going beyond healing to include anything. Financial breakthrough, miracles, raising of the dead, casting out demons, all the things that are instantaneously happening right before your eyes. Or the metal thing falling out, arms growing. Miracles are beyond the natural means, natural things that is beyond our understanding. Prophecy. So speaking the message inspired by Holy Spirit in a language that we understand. Why did I say that? Because we're talking about various kinds of tongue. Prophecy always need to be understood by the hearer. Otherwise, it's not a prophecy. You know, some of you know that I speak Korean. And if I come to any of you, like Mark, Zach, okay, he left. Anyways, if I come to Mark and start prophesying in Korean, that I would understand the one who is prophesying, and he has no idea, can he follow the instruction or correction from the Lord or encouragement? No. Well, that is, I'm going to talk about that. So prophecy is that, is to encourage, is to prepare somebody either to walk on a different path that they're walking in or to prepare them to receive what God wants to do in their life, because we need preparation. Faith is not an absence of information, because we know that faith comes by hearing word of Christ. Even in the world, people receive faith by anything that they learn, right? You go to science class and you learn something and you believe it by without seeing evidence often. We don't have time to go through all these, jump off the building and test the gravity and all the different things like that. Most of us trust the system. We also need to trust the kingdom system. So faith is that. We don't see it physically, but we understand the information. So a lot of people say, well, Young, why can't you just believe it? I don't know anything. How do I believe in the things that I have no idea what it is? I have no information, no clue. We call that trust. If I see the pattern of God, whatever he has done in my life, let's say he came through and many similar things, I trust his character and experience that he'll come through. That's trust. But that's not faith. Faith is different. Faith requires information for me to believe. Amen? What about distinguishing of spirits? Well, it's not my spirit distinguishing the spirit. It is actually the Holy Spirit's works. Again, these nine gifts are what? His operation, not my spirit, but his spirit. So distinguishing a spirit is distinguishing three spirits, right? spirit of the Lord, man's spirit, and spirit of the demonics. And who reveals that? Holy Spirit. So often we need to ask the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it can come to us without asking, but often we need to ask the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we don't want to assume anything. Because a lot of time we use intuition and perception and come to assumption on what it is based on what we perceive on our past experience and past hurts or wound or personality type. We can be right if we do that. I'm not saying those are not wrong, but the dangerous part of that is that you're right. That's the dangerous thing. What if you're wrong? Right? Because you assume wrong thing, you discern wrongly. But when we trust the Holy Spirit, when we are not sure, we ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what is it? That's how we begin. Amen. Next. Let's go with 8. Various kinds of tongue. Now this, remember I shared, this is not a personal tongue because this only operate as the Lord wills. So speaking in a language not learned naturally by the speaker, which may include unknown human language or heaven or spiritual languages. It is for the glory of God. It's the message that comes out. It is same as prophecy, but it cannot work in tandem without the interpretation. The personal prayer in tongue is to edify me. Remember, I share it early on. That's the reason why it's different, because the 9 gifts are for the edification of the body. The interpretation. Interpretation is interpreting, not translating verbatim, but interpreting the essence of the tongue that was given. Various kinds of tongue often is for other people, always. And without the interpretation, what did Paul say? Don't keep giving it. If one person comes up during the service and give a message or does a various kinds of tongue, if we don't have an interpreter, do not have the second person keep rising. So we need an interpreter. And how do you interpret? Do you interpret by will? No, it's also the gift that Holy Spirit operate whenever he wants. Why am I keep emphasizing whenever the Lord wants? That's what the word said. And if we understand that properly, we don't overpromise. We don't overpromise. We don't perform. God, think about this. If these things operate according to my compassion, I could walk into hospital today and clear the beds. Why does not that happen? Every single one of these 9 gifts only operate as the Lord wills. Do I believe that happened? Still now, yes. We are still living in that time. How do we increase in seeing more of that? Intimacy. I'm going to talk about that next week, but the key to see more of this is personal intimacy to build up sensitivity. God always wants to touch people and heal people and do all that. It's not guaranteed that everybody's healed all the time because we don't know what's going to happen, but that is heart of the Father. There is a provision of healing and miracle, signs and wonder, all the 9 gifts. But he desire and he's seeking those who are sensitive for him to manifest. Of course, there are other gifts like teaching and leadership, acts of service, exhortation and giving and mercy and administration gifts. Those are already in you and they are greatly enhanced by the Holy Spirit. So that is different from 9 gifts. 9 gifts are given to you outside of you. Okay. For the common good. So why did I say all this? I believe that God is still looking for his body to yield without shame, without fear. Because right now, the current culture, there has been overpromising. There has been some misunderstanding on the operation of the Holy Spirit. And we have demanded certain ministers to operate all the time on demand, which created unhealthy culture and created so many people who are, I would say, so many people that I know left the church. And they no longer are part of the charismatic, but now they go to cessationist church that only believes in the Word of God. And so many people spend 20 years of their youth, now they're in their 40s and 50s. They have nothing. They have no more foundation. It's all shaken. I believe the next move of God will be like the book of Acts. What do I mean by that? Well, we'll see the greater measure of the power of the Holy Spirit, but it will be built on a foundation of Jesus Christ and the community of people. It's always relational. God will build in a community that on a daily basis, they break bread and help and minister and pray and care for each other. And also larger community as we come together once in a while to build greater relationship. This is very important for us as we move forward. We should not shrink back because we see some ministers, some things are being exposed. We need to boldly step more into the realm of faith. Because if we're too cautious, we can always step into the realm of fear. And fear hinders the move of the Lord in your own lives. So it is our hope that in the weeks to come, that we want to reveal more of the Holy Spirit and also begin to have clarity on the culture. Are we still part of the old covenant culture? Do we carry some of the things? Do we still have those things embedded into our culture? We need to sift those things out and purify our understanding of proper culture in a New Testament context of what is to be having a culture of honor. How do we have culture of honor in a New Testament context? Not to bring it from the old covenant, Old Testament context, but from a new covenant understanding of that. So how many of you are excited about that? Amen. 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 I'm very excited. I'm very excited to see all things that God has promised come to pass in our community and the larger community outside of this congregation. Amen. So does that kind of make sense now that, again, personal prayer is not a qualification for leadership. You could still serve and lead without having personal prayer in the tongue. It is, but at the same time, it is so good for an individual. Amen. All right, let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for clearly laying out in your scripture on how you operate. Lord, we acknowledge that we are not God. We are not God. We are the body of Christ, where Christ abides to do as he pleases. Father, we desire to cultivate this incredibly deep personal relationship, just as Jesus has done on John 15. He said, "One command that I give you is to love one another as I love you." Father, help us to recognize all these are for the glory of the Lord. All these are to display the love and love of kingdom of God. All these are for your glory. Father, help us to recognize the most important thing at the end is for us to understand that did we learn to receive his love and to manifest and to release his love, whether that is in gifts or prophecy or practical help for our neighbor or visiting our neighbor or helping our community, whatever that might be, Lord, that's to manifest his love in our calling and our purpose. Help us to realize to always be grounded in our personal relationship with you. Lord, ignite this fire in us. Help us understand that sometimes we need a shock. We need to restart. Some of us, if we have not been consistent in our connection with the Lord, whether that is through prayer, whether that's meditating on the Word of God, whether that is through worship and contemplation, many ways that we know how to get deep, intimate with God. Father, if some of us have torn it down because we think it works, Father, help us to get regrafted into that. Help us to establish a intimate moment with you throughout our day, especially the first thing when we wake up, to connect with you, to renew our mind yet again for what is to come. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for revealing all things in God. Father, we ask that you will stir up our hunger and thirst in us. Amen. You will stir up our hunger and thirst in us to go always after you. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God.